Hello, and welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely with me, your host, Sarah. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. I am having a good week myself. It is a short week for us. We have a short school week, so that's exciting. Well, not really short, I'd say one day, but one day is one day, okay? So last night, as I was writing this episode, I began thinking to myself of why I want to create this episode around anxiety and coping mechanisms and more kind of practical advice to manage anxiety with your self-compassion. As we've grown so many new listeners, I've been, you know, watching what episodes are being focused on the most. And a lot of it is in the beginning. You know, when I created this podcast, it was during, you know, a pandemic for mental health, and it was scary and crazy, and nobody knew how to navigate it. And as much so, people that email in feel like we're in more of a quarantine now than we were back then due to inflation and kind of being stuck in financial situations. And now the holiday season's coming up, and mental health is being talked about more than ever. People can't live the way they were used to living. That's a whole new separate topic in itself. Understanding that you don't need to be or do certain things around the holidays for people is a huge thing. As we know, the holiday season this time of year is the highest rates for suicide, and it is scary. It's scary that mental health and things like that take such a hit during what a lot of people claim to be the happiest time of the year. It's also the most stressful. It's also the most that you're hard on yourself. Am I enough? Did I do enough? Or you don't have family to be around and you don't have that support system, and it's depressing. All around you is happy, cheerful movies, songs, and here we are going, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to feed my family next week? And people think they still need to measure up. And it's getting out of control. If I'm being honest with you, the standards that people hold for holidays and just basic kids' birthday parties is crazy. And we have to stop comparing and get off social media when it comes to thinking that we need to be those people who are millionaires or billionaires or, you know, the Kylie Jenners of the world who have a whole circus for your kid's second birthday party. I don't know all the facts on that part, but I just threw that and I knew it was something crazy. Anyways, so many people are experiencing anxiety right now when it's absolutely valid, but unnecessary, and we don't have to do that to ourselves. Anxiety can be so overwhelming, and that's really what I want to address today. Is more coping mechanisms for anxiety, what anxiety is, and how far I feel like I've come in the past 3 years in talking about it, in addressing it, in understanding it, and knowing the root of where at least mine came from and why it's better now, I feel, and why I'm in control of it, and why you can become the leader of your anxiety and not the victim or follower of it. So that's what I want to talk about today. Welcome to Loving Yourself Completely. Now, I know anxiety and depression are different, and so many people with anxiety and depression, most people have both. Most people do, because anxiety can cause depression, or depression causes anxiety, one or the other. And it's a recipe for just disaster most of the times. And today, my main focus is anxiety. Anxiety is so overwhelming. But like we've talked about in so many of our Hello Neighbor episodes, it's essential to remember that you are equipped to face it, and it's there to keep you safe. So I want to dive into some of the more effective coping strategies that can empower you in your journey to emotional well-being while processing that you do have anxiety, but you are not anxiety, you know? First and foremost, understanding your anxiety is the key. Take some time. I know, Sarah, slow down. That's part of my anxiety, is I'm a fast talker. Okay. See, I have to take a moment for sometimes. Okay. Understanding your anxiety is key. Okay. So we're going to take some time to identify what triggers you and your patterns and things like that, because self-awareness forms the understanding to building these coping mechanisms that will work specifically just for you, nobody else but for you. You know, what works for my anxiety is not going to work for you necessarily, but could be possibly helpful in you finding the pathways that helps yours. I know we constantly talk about breathing and grounding techniques. One of the simplest yet most powerful techniques for me is conscious breathing, being aware of how I'm breathing. You practice deep, slow breaths to calm your nervous system. Combine that with some grounding exercises, such as feeling the textures around you or focusing on the rhythm of your breathing to hold you in that present moment, is 100% helpful for me. A lot of times I will start breathing in rhythms of six, and I'll count to six. I don't know why six works for me. And I'll feel the furniture next to me or my shirt fabric or play with my hair and really understand the feeling of my hair. And that will bring me in a lot. I'll also place one hand on my chest so I can feel my breathing become more stable in that moment. Just grounding yourself in that moment is going to tell your nervous system, hey, we're here right now. We're safe. There's no bear chasing us. I don't need the fight or flight of fear racing through my body right now. I'm okay. I'm safe. That's basically such a helpful technique that I've found that can kind of push me through to the next moment. And I just move forward. I just move on. Anxiety attacks used to take my day. It used to take so long to get through that I didn't even understand how people would say, oh, I had an anxiety attack this morning, and be at work. I'm like, how did you do that? Like, my anxiety attacks would end and I'd roll right into another one because I was thinking about the last one. So understanding that it doesn't have to take the day and that you can move forward moments after anxiety is a huge step in moving on with your anxiety. Being compassionate and mindful, of course, we've talked about this so many times. Mindfulness coupled with self-compassion can significantly alleviate anxiety. Like just what I said, being in the moment. Practice being kind to yourself, understanding of yourself, and just acknowledging your feelings without judging yourself. Stop being so hard on yourself. Oh, why do I feel this way? Oh, I always ruin my day. Oh, I can't do nothing. That is not helping. It's just not. Zero help. So why not try the opposite? I'm doing my best. Nothing's going to hurt me. I'm safe. I'm present. I'm beautiful. My mind is trying to keep me safe. I appreciate that. Mindful meditation in your day, even just for a few minutes, can make such a huge difference of just being aware of what you're doing in the moments. I know we all get so caught up in our lives, especially just being parents and what we have to do and even work stuff. Now, with me, I know, I work from home. I'm always in my work. Always. I know that sounds crazy because, I work at home. So I'm always at work. I always feel like I'm on the go. I always feel like there's something productive I need to be doing. There's something productive with either my social media or my podcast or my boutique or, my family, my household. There's something that I'm missing that needs to be done. And so many times I have to go, well, hold on. Because in this moment, you're doing what needs to be done, which is one thing at a time. Stop thinking the future here, okay? So I have to bring myself back in. And those are the moments I need meditation the most. I force myself. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes I go, oh, it's going to be an awful meditation. But I make it happen. I set 2 minutes on my phone. I sit on my couch. I close my eyes. I focus on my breathing. Focus on right now. What am I doing right now? What am I focused on right now? And I keep moving. I do my positive affirmations, my declarations of self-love to me. I always try to start and end my day with an affirmation. It reinforces my worth and my strength. I work really hard. We all work so hard why are we constantly telling ourselves that it's not hard enough? You know, I didn't do enough. Why do we do that? Why? So you have to remind yourself that you're capable, you're deserving, you're resilient, you're strong. You can do hard things. That's a constant reminder for me. I constantly feel I have to do more constantly. Why? Why do I feel that way? Why do I put that pressure on myself when I'm literally doing everything I can the best way I can? And sometimes I do need a break. That's okay to take a break. It is. It's okay. Set those boundaries with yourself and with others. You have to learn to set those healthy boundaries in your personal life, your professional life, saying no when necessary, like we've talked about so many times. It's an act of self-love. It really is. Saying no is loving yourself, especially in situations that you are confidently saying no. Preserve your energy and your well-being for yourself. You have to know that when enough is enough for your life. You can't keep going. That's like knowing that you have $10 in your bank account and you just keep spending. What do you think is going to happen? And the consequences are going to be awful, especially if you can't pay it back for a week. Oof. Imagine the overdraft fees on the emotional well-being if you just keep giving. Ew. And remember, of course, always seek support if you need it. Never hesitate to reach out to me or a trusted friend, a family member, or a mental health professional. Share your feelings. Sharing my feelings and the burdens of anxiety, it's not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. And I had to remind myself that a lot. I had to tell myself that because so many people around me didn't understand my anxiety. And they would say, oh yeah, Sarah's not coming. Her anxiety. And that's hurtful. Oh God. Yeah. That's crazy. It's so hurtful. You already feel like a burden to yourself and your family. And no wonder people are, you know, suicidal. If you don't have the correct support system, it's detrimental to your mental health to have support of people who understand that anxiety makes you feel already awful about yourself, mixed with depression, things like that. You already feel like you are a burden to everybody around you. Oh my gosh, like just another thing I can't do. They're better off without me. And it does feel that way in the moment. It's not true. So fighting to get out of that, that's why they say if you've fought to get through mental health or to keep going, and so many people get tattoos to signify that, you are a very strong person. It's not a weak-minded thing. It is for people that have to constantly work out their mind to create that mass of muscle to get rid of it. I feel like I am constantly comparing your mind to being in the gym. Maybe the personal trainer in me, I don't know, but you have to work it out. You have to. You have to constantly be making your mind stronger, growing, challenging it, not letting it become stale. It has to constantly be put to work. Always. Your mind is the strongest thing in your body. It's constantly working. Even when you're sleeping, it's working. What are you going to sleep doing? Is it going to be positive or negative? What are you going to sleep thinking about? Your anxiety is formed by your thought process. So what are you feeding it? Are you feeding it a bunch of junk food and trash and things that are no good for it? Constantly comparing or scrolling social media? What are we feeding our minds? Or are we feeding it healthy things? Things that are fruitful, things that are going to steer it in the right direction to become its best self? And you really have to process that information and ask yourself a very honest question. What am I feeding my mind every single day, every moment of the day? Calling all my friends from all corners of the internet, I'm here to tell you about Sarah Bauer Boutique. In the virtual aisles of shopping Sarah Bauer Boutique, you are not just browsing through clothes, you're exploring a world of self-expression and self-love. You click, you browse, you discover the pieces that resonate with your unique vibe and individuality. My online boutique is more than just a website. It's a celebration of self-love. It's about feeling confident, radiant, and utterly comfortable in your own skin. Every outfit you find there is a reminder that you are worthy and beautiful, and you deserve to wrap yourself in it every single day. So grab your device, visit Sarah Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, boutique.com, and indulge in a joy of self-love through fashion. Let's redefine online shopping together, making it a delightful, powerful experience, because you deserve nothing but the best. Remember to give them a reason to stare from Sarah Bauer Boutique. I really wanted to get back to the basics in this episode with so many people that reach out about what anxiety is and what's common. Is it something that can be cured forever? Things like that. And we've talked about that, I know. But in a fresh new perspective, years later, feels like lifetimes later of growing and becoming the people we want to be. And if you've been here from the beginning, I hope you're growing with me and we can feel the energy. So when I speak with a lot of you, I feel as though who I was 3 years ago, I don't think she ever existed. Like, that's how old she feels to me. She feels distant, a stranger. Was she ever really here? And it's scary because you go, I thought that that phase of my life was forever. I thought my high anxiety, my intrusive thoughts, my fears were a forever thing. And we've all grown so far past that since, you know, the pandemic mainly. And it feels like we've lived 1,000 lifetimes. So what is anxiety? Anxiety, we've talked about this, but I want to reword this the best way I can. So it is a natural response to stress. It is natural. Often it's brought on by feelings of worry or fear or unease. It is a normal part of life, but can become a disorder when excessive and uncontrollable. So many times we don't know how to manage or handle our stress, so it turns into a fear of worry and anxiety, and then you go, oh, what is this feeling? And that's why so much when we would talk about anxiety, I would say, go to the root of the cause. What are you worried about? Address that. Don't just try to make the anxiety go away. Don't go, how do I get rid of anxiety attacks? Oh, I put ice on my neck. Oh, I take a cold shower. Yes, those things work for the anxiety, but what is the cause? We have to find the cause. Common symptoms of anxiety, rapid heart rate, increased sweating, restlessness, trembling, fatigue, irritability. I know I get the shakes so bad. My hands turn into just a sweaty nightmare. The feeling of doom and difficulty concentrating, those can lead to just severe panic attacks. I mean, anybody who's had panic attacks understands that feeling. You know that feeling that's coming over you that you go, oh, I know what it is, but it's about to take over and I'm going to lose it. Like, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm not going to be able to talk my way out of it. I'm going to think this is a permanent mental space for me. This is where I'm going to live. I'm moving in with my neighbor. Like, it becomes something that even though you know what it is, you can't undo, it feels like. Anxiety disorders. What causes an anxiety disorder? That was a big question for me. Anxiety disorders can be caused by a combination of genetic or environmental. It can be developing factors as well, trauma, stress, brain chemistry. It all can contribute to anxiety disorders. And that's why when I say getting to the root of it is so important. For me, I feel like it could be a little bit of all even sometimes. I know my mother experienced anxieties, so she didn't necessarily fully understand my anxiety. Mine was way worse than hers, but she knew what it was. Environmental, your surroundings. What are you surrounding yourself with? I feel like that was a big one for my anxiety starting at 18, 19. I was living in a very unhealthy household with somebody that we were both kind of in a mentally abusive state of mind, sometimes physically, and that was unwell for me, obviously. So that anxiety amped up. I also felt like the stress and also traumas. We all have traumas that we never properly dealt with because maybe at the time we didn't know it was trauma, but it was in there. It was in us. That's why when I say like seeking mental health support, that can bring out what has been bothering you that you've forgotten about. My therapist brought out so many things that I went, oh, that's a trauma? He's like, yes. Like, why do you think you respond this way when this happens? Oh, I don't know. That's just, you know, how I've always responded. Well, yeah, because you didn't process this trauma. And then when I processed it, I felt like, oh, well, okay. I feel so much better now. I didn't even know that that was a thing. So many things that seem normal to you or you think you might have processed, maybe you haven't yet. Maybe you haven't. And it can be diagnosed. Anxiety is a diagnosis. Now, sometimes they are so quick to diagnose anxiety that it bothers me. But with true anxiety, I mean, a mental health professional can diagnose it through a careful evaluation. They take into consideration your symptoms, your medical history, psychological assessments. My doctor didn't do that, which really bothered me. Now, I knew I had the anxiety from a different doctor who diagnosed me with it. I didn't, like I said, this was so long ago, it wasn't talked about. I never even heard of it, didn't know what it was, thought my mom was crazy. But the doctor I had prior, I was at my doctor's office. When I tell you, it felt like every week, I'm serious. She would walk in and she'd go, what, Sarah, what? And here I was like 15, 16, like my mom thinking I'm dying or my dad, like, what is going on? Why am I making you so many doctor's appointments? I had major health anxiety. Not sure why. But I constantly felt like, oh, they're missing something. It was a fear of mine. I had a hypochondria of anxieties and just always thought something was wrong with me because I was having anxiety attacks. Didn't know what they were. So I thought something was wrong with my heart. Thought something was wrong with me. Thought I was always having fevers when I was just sweating profusely. Like, I really thought something was wrong with me. But my one doctor, like I said, she just overlooked it. You're too young. You're too young to have this many issues. Get out of here. Get out of here. Partial was I had terribly high blood pressure due to my kidney disease they hadn't diagnosed yet. But she was overlooking. And then my new doctor, he walked right in. He goes, what is this? Yes, you have anxiety. You have depression. Here's some, you know, I'm not going to tell you the medication. I just about named off I don't want to put that out there. But they had given me medication that I was on, I believe, for 2 years. And I really struggled with it because I was scared of medication at the time as well. I still don't like medication. If you know me, you know Tylenol is too much for me. I don't do medicine. That's still an anxiety of mine. I struggle with the health aspects because for some reason I always felt my doctors had let me down. So I really started working on myself because I don't want your medicine. How do I fix this? What do I do? And it came to me that I had to get to the root of my problem. What was the root of it? Now, am I saying that that works for everybody and that that's what everybody's anxiety is caused by? No, but for me, it was. For me, I kept pushing things and I was delusional in my own little world, which can be helpful for some, but for me, it was in me and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where it was. I hadn't processed my past relationship. I hadn't processed so much of my childhood. Then when I had quit drinking, I hadn't processed, you know, the passing away of, you know, my grandpa or Brett's dad or what we had been through. I kept not processing. Why did I think if I just was silent about things, it would go away? That's not the way my body was allowing me to work. And then I'm sitting there wondering why I can't sleep, why I can't eat, why I'm having intrusive thoughts, why I'm having depression. Why am I drinking so much when I was? And then why was I struggling to be sober? What was happening? Getting diagnosed with my anxiety was the first step. But then it was a very long 10 plus years later of understanding why that anxiety was placed in me in the first place. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javy? J-A-V-Y. Javy coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javy coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javy coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A 43934 today. Javy coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javy today. Now, if you know me or you're close to me, you know that I'm one of those people that always think there's a reason. I just do. It sounds awful. It takes me a long time, especially the worse the lesson is. That sounds so wrong saying it that way. The worse. My brain might still be off. That might not even be the proper grammar for that. Depending on the situation, it takes me a long time to understand that maybe everything can happen for a reason. Some things can be out of pure no reason, it feels like. But anyway, anything happens, no matter what. The way my life forms after that, I feel the reasoning of. I can find the reasoning for it. I have to. It's almost like I have to justify the ugly of the world to understand what it's doing to me. So that's been helpful for me because sometimes I get really upset. Sometimes if I'm in pain or I have a bad day, I think everybody, we go, what is the point? For what? Am I always going to feel like this? Am I always going to feel this burden? Am I always going to have this pain? Am I ever going to be okay? We ask ourselves all these questions. And then sometimes I'll look back and I'll go, was I ever okay? And you know what I mean? Like, and really, if you're in this self-growing journey, we weren't. We thought we were because it was a different problem. Maybe that's not as big as a burden now. But really, looking back, you just keep growing through things. The challenges get harder as you get older. So it becomes a feeling of it gets worse, but it doesn't. It's not getting worse. You're getting stronger and problems become different as you get older. Nobody said life was perfect, especially those of us with anxiety. And I think everybody has a little hint of anxiety no matter what, right? So people ask me all the time, what are treatments for anxiety? And as I spoke with you with so many things just now that I hit you with, treatments can include therapies. Different kinds of therapy. Of course, there's behavioral therapy, medication and antidepressants, lifestyle changes, relaxation techniques, so many different forms of what you would say is your anxiety treatment or therapies. With the therapy, I will say, was definitely my biggest help for the long run. It took me 3-4 therapists to find one that spoke to me in a way I understood and could take home. Other therapists, they like to listen, say the basic, do their time and get out of there. I had a wonderful therapist who would do the extra work, who would make me send him pictures of me doing the work, who would, you know, there was a point where I wasn't eating. So he'd make me send him pictures of my dinner. Like, it was to the point, like, he genuinely was involved and was so kind, understanding, and didn't have a notepad out. I really took that away from him, really listened to what I was going through. When I'd walk in, he knew names of my loved ones. He understood what I was going through. He would ask me about something I spoke about last week. Now, yeah, is he probably like have a recorder somewhere listening and maybe listened back? Maybe, but I felt like he really understood me, and that was a big one for me. So in the long run, that was my biggest success because I was able to learn things that I could take further in life with me. Now, I haven't been to therapy in about almost 2 years. Or was it a year? oh my gosh, I can't remember. I think about a year and a half. I'm going to say that. And I still, every single day, I hear his voice. Certain techniques will come up or certain phrases. And that's the therapy that sticks with you. That's a good therapist. Medication was my quick fix when I needed it at 19 years old is when I started taking it. That was my Xanax and, oh, I hate saying medication name, but everybody knows what that is. And my antidepressant that they had prescribed me. Again, I took that for 2 years and I felt like it saved my life. I really did. I felt like it saved my life. Of course, when I became pregnant, I got off of all of that stuff and I never went back on it. But as we talked about in previous episodes, come 2016, so this was, I was 2013, I got off of it. I had my baby and then we lost people close to us and became an issue for me again with my anxieties, but I didn't want the medication. Unfortunately, I was self-medicating with alcohol and that was not the right choice either. So I felt like quick fixes for me, I struggle with because it is easy to get the quick fixes because it's easy for that. Now, long-term medication, you know, and not abusing medication is just so, it's such a balance. And now as an adult, I would be able to do that. But as a young adult who was terrified and scared for her life and felt like I was losing my mind and nobody could tell me what was wrong with my brain, I was not taking my prescription correctly. I just, every time I would have anxiety, I'd take another one. I wasn't fixing myself. So if you're able to do medication in the proper way and fix yourself and that's not an issue for you, then absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Lifestyle changes. What is your life looking like? What are you around? What are you allowing yourself around? My anxiety is the highest when I have people around me that I feel like judge me or talk unkindly about me because I feel like I do my best and people who can't or don't ever see you as a good person, it's hurtful. Or you feel like, oh, I did my best. And then you hear they're talking negatively about you. Or, oh, I'm doing my best. And then you hear they're saying bad things about you to other people. Like, that's an anxiety trigger for me. So I pulled back. I pulled back out of places that I felt I was being judged. Or I felt like when I left, they spoke unkindly about me. Or I heard they spoke unkindly about me. I took myself out of those situations for my own well-being. Other people might be perfectly okay with that stuff. Not Sarah. Not Sarah. I don't do well when I hear people talk negatively about me when I leave the room. It just doesn't work for me. It's just not a thing for me. If I'm in your life or you're in my life, I don't think negative talk should be a thing. I just don't. If I leave your home and 2 seconds later you're talking negatively about everything I did in your presence, why do you want me around? What's the point? So I started withdrawing myself from friend groups, from family groups. I started just withdrawing slowly and noticed my life improving immensely. My mental health skyrocketed. My confidence blossomed. I felt great about myself because I didn't have somebody whispering in my ear that wasn't my own voice of, hey, you shouldn't do that. Oh, why are you wearing that? Oh, what is that makeup? Oh, look, you look blah, blah, blah. It was just a constant feed of negativity and it wasn't even my own voice. So I changed my room. I changed my lifestyle. I changed what rooms I walked into and who was in there. And my life launched into the most successful season it's ever been in. And I will never go back. It will never be some place that I place myself in for the comfort of others. That won't happen. Not making people comfortable with being a certain way in my presence. That's not allowed anymore. And I feel like everybody should do that. Take these lifestyle changes and just make them. Just do it. You know where you feel good at and where you don't feel good at. You know how you feel when you leave a certain place. And I don't care who it is. Nobody deserves to feel that way. Change it. We've talked about relaxation techniques, the breathing, the meditation, understanding where you're at and doing the positive affirmations, grounding yourself. Those are huge. Those are really big ones. Those are really important ones for me. because in those moments, say I'm driving and I feel like a weird burst of anxiety. I go, oh, where's it coming from? Oh, I'm nervous to go to this place. No big deal. Been here 1,000 times before. But just to calm myself down, now that I know the root of the issue, I'm going to do some deep breathing. And I'm going to place my hand on my chest and drive, of course, with my other hand. And I'm going to really focus on in this moment. This is my relaxation technique in this moment right now that I have to do quickly because I'm about to arrive at my destination and I'm going to be just fine. Okay. So another big one was, can lifestyle changes really manage your anxiety? And as we just talked about, I do believe yes. Lifestyle changes such as even just regular exercise, eating correctly, getting enough sleep, stress management techniques like meditation or yoga. Yoga is a good one. It can help with anxiety. It can help you manage it. It can help you give it a place to live outside of being front and center of your brain. It can place that in a safe box in the back of your brain. You know it's there. It's there to keep you safe, but it doesn't need to come out. It's like decorating for a very small holiday. Let's see. And it's back there to come out every once in a while. Just that cute little box of anxiety. It's meant to keep you safe, but I mean, you don't put it out all year. It's not on display for everybody to see when you walk in. You don't want to wake up and see that decoration in your living room every morning. No, thank you. We keep it in a safe place. We tuck it away and it comes out when a bear is chasing you down. Like, that's when I need it. Or somebody's breaking into my house. My fight or flight. Is my house on fire? Where do I go? Anxiety. I got to unpack you really quick. Keep me safe. Spike that fear. Get me out of here. Like, that's how I look at my anxiety. I tape it up nicely, but not too tight because I need it. It keeps me safe. It's our neighbor. Okay, we go to it in case of emergencies. Maybe our phone's not working. We're not feeling our best. Hey, neighbor. Like, can I use your phone? Oh, yeah, I'm here to keep you safe, whatever you need. Okay, so that's how I feel about with lifestyles and managing anxieties. And you know what, though? Because this is another question I get asked so much. What is the difference between, let's say, like everyday anxiety and anxiety disorders? I've experienced both, and I feel like they are both important to understand because anxiety is temporary and is linked to usually a specific situation. I mean, like I said, there's always a root, for me at least, there's always a root to it. While a disorder, it involves, you know, the excessive prolonged worry and fear that disrupts your life every day. And I feel like that's the stuff that forms from the traumas and stuff that we buried down. So I felt like when mine first started, it was an anxiety disorder and it became an everyday anxiety after that because I wasn't focused on why this prolonged excessive worry was interrupting my life every day, every moment. The minute I opened my eyes, I was unwell. And being that young, you're like, what is wrong with me? Understanding it. And then as I got older, it was a new anxiety. It was just specifically anxiety, but it was starting to become a burden on my life and not understand where it came from. Of course I was having anxiety. I was 26 years old. I had just moved to a house I didn't want to move to. I started drinking too much. I lost two of the most important people for me. I was dealing with a two-year-old, a husband who lost his father. Here I am. Like, I didn't even know which way was up. I couldn't even understand my life. How did I get here? And where do I go? So my anxiety, I felt like I experienced both, and I wanted to also be a safe place for my family to come to with, to me if they were having struggles. So I feel like we had to learn together, my husband and myself, how to deal with very specific situations with our anxieties and our struggles and how you can support somebody with anxiety. And that's even just, you know, being a listening ear for your person, for your friend, encourage them. Even me now, encouraging you to seek therapy, like be that person. Telling somebody this to seek therapy is not an insult. If I break my arm, tell me to go to the ER, please. Why is mental health looked at any different than a broken arm? we just got to get somebody to pop that back in there, get it back in its box. This is for holiday seasons only. This is, you know, this box is not meant to be out all year round. Educate yourself about anxiety. You have to do that. You have to be patient and understanding and avoid people with their judgment. You can't judge people with their anxieties. You have to be supportive. And so you have to surround yourself with people that are supportive. And if you don't have any, that's why I think therapy is great. And also, if you don't have any, then those people don't belong in your life. You have to be with people. If somebody looked at you with a broken arm and they said, don't go to the emergency room, get it together. It's just a broken arm. What's wrong with you? Why are you being so dramatic? Calm down. Take a deep breath. You're fine. Are we all relating to that right now? Okay. So be supportive of somebody that has anxiety. Just be there for them. Because specific triggers with anxiety attack, they vary from person to person. It can include very specific situations. Like I said, it can include substances or even thoughts. Thoughts can trigger people's anxieties, but common triggers are usually social situations, phobias, or traumas. So it's a little bit of everything. That's why I say that anxiety is an array of things and just a bunch of, you know, different looks and feelings, and it's hard to understand it completely. But in the gist of it, when we're all together in a room, all of our different anxieties and disorders and medications, different treatments, therapies, if we got all together dealing with it differently, having it differently, experiencing it differently, if we were all in the same room, we would all offer support, because that's what people with anxiety do. You have compassion because you know how it feels to feel your lowest. You have understanding, because nobody can understand the feeling of absolute dread like somebody with anxiety, and give their heart and a listening ear to somebody even when you don't have the energy sometimes. But if you're talking with somebody who struggles the same way you do, you find that in you. You find that understanding and compassion in you, and you want to be helpful, even though sometimes you don't even know how to help yourself. So I think that this group we've formed that have learned to process their anxiety and grow from it and control it and keep it tucked away in that nice pretty box with a bow on it, I think this is the kindest group of people I've ever met in my entire life. And I'm thankful for it. Okay. Last one is a big one. I get asked quite a bit, and one of the most researched topics of anxiety disorders is how to prevent them. Can it be prevented? Can you stop your kids from having it? Can you stop yourself from ever having it again? And while it's not always preventable, early understanding, management of any kind of stress, support, and avoiding as much negativity or alcohol, caffeine, can help with developing further anxiety disorders. Now, I'm not saying like, oh, never drink coffee or never do this, but when I was having severe anxiety and I was having the fast heart rate, like I couldn't drink coffee. It made it worse. Now I can drink a whole pot a day because I understand it. You know what I mean? Like I don't have it anymore. I'm not saying it's not there, but it's not an everyday problem for me. Every once in a while, I'll get in those, I'll maybe have some weird news that hit me different, or something sad that happened, or something I hear about that disturbs me, and I'll get a little hint of it. But it hasn't disrupted my life in a very long time, and I'm so thankful for that. So that's why I tell people, when you understand what your anxiety is, you understand how to treat yourself. And that's what worked for me. That's really what was so helpful for me. I really hope that all this information is helpful once again, and know that this is a zero judgment zone, and nobody, especially myself, when you write in, I hope you know that your emails are taken very seriously. Your messages are understood with my whole heart, and you can always write in anonymously. I think that that is such a treasure to have. And I do have quite a few people who I do know on a first name basis, and I think of you daily, and we speak quite a bit. So forming this community is such a wonderful way to help get out of your head and help see you're not alone. I think that's the biggest mental health problem, is everybody feels alone because it's still not talked about enough. It's still not related to enough. And if more people keep coming forward and say like, oh yeah, I felt like that before, I didn't really know what it was, and having somebody else step in and say, oh yeah, that's anxiety, here's what helps me. I still do my journaling. I still do my affirmations. Even if I don't have it every single day, I want to keep it that way. And this is what has always worked for me. This podcast has always worked for me. Speaking out loud about my feelings works for me. Telling people no works for me. Not surrounding myself with people who maybe make me feel uncomfortable works for me. Finding those genuine hearts out there in the world and people who build you up constantly and only want what's best for you, always are supportive of who you are and who you're becoming. Those are the people you need in your life, not the ones who constantly make you question if you're good enough or worthy enough. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with the best people out there. You deserve that. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Now, as we come to the end of today's episode, I really do, I want you to take all these coping mechanisms to heart and give yourself so much love and kindness and patience, especially during moments of anxiety. You're deserving of that peace and happiness. And with these coping strategies, you can navigate the challenges of anxiety while nurturing your own self-love. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You aren't unlovable because you have anxiety. You're not unwanted because you have anxiety. You just haven't found your place with the right people, maybe. Keep searching for that, because the more you love yourself, it's like a magnetic field of the people who love themselves too to come find you. And we're looking. We're looking for you. So continue to work on yourself and be that beacon of light and hope for others out there to find. We all need each other. And the more we can build each other up and be more understanding, we're not these kids anymore. We're not young kids who have zero answers and zero understanding of life. Most of us, my listenership is in their 30s. Most of us are parents, and most of us are, you know, really good spouses and are just trying to find our place in loving ourselves and be constantly growing while also feeling comfortable in our own skin in the moments, in the right nows. So do that. Continue loving yourself completely. Write in to lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. Follow our Instagram page. You can write in there as well. You do have to send that request on Instagram. But I like everybody new joining the conversation. And I'm just so proud of everybody for loving themselves completely all the way through this journey. All right. I want you to have a wonderful week. And remember that there is strength in having anxiety. You're not weak for it, okay? Don't let anybody ever tell you that. Don't let anybody huff at your anxieties, okay? They are valid. They are there for a reason. Find the root. Find the cause. And then put it back in the box. Save it for when it's necessary on a rainy day. It's not raining every day, okay? Continue loving yourself completely. Bye.